Deplorable Nation, a podcast where your voices can be heard, where things that affect you and your family are important, because it's important to all of us. Every one of us matters and everybody has a voice. We're going to be bringing you news, current events, and throw in a lot of humor. And then you decide for yourself. Hello, and what's up, all you gorgeous people out there? Welcome back to another episode of Deplorable Nation, episode number 22, and it's called Psych. Today, I'm joined by a very special guest. I'm your host, Deplorable Janet, and today my guest is Miss Jacqueline. How are you doing today, my dear?
Hello, hello. I am doing fine. A little nervous, but it's all good.
Never be nervous here. It's a completely autonomous zone.
It's a safe space for everyone.
It is. It's a safe space, but we don't give out coloring books or baby bottles or crayons here. So there you go. So, Miss Jacqueline, thank you so much for joining me today. And I just want you to give like a brief background on yourself.
Okay. Well, my name is Jacqueline, and I'm just from, well, let me just start like this. So I always get asked where I'm from, and I never know what to say. I have lived all up and down the East Coast, anywhere from Pennsylvania to New Jersey to Florida, Tennessee, even Ohio. So I am well-traveled in the United States.
So you've moved around a lot.
Yes, yes, I have. And it's been a very good thing to see different ways people live.
It's eye-opening, isn't it?
It is. Especially like as a kid, I moved from up north in Pennsylvania to a small town in Florida, and that was a huge culture shock. But it was really good. It was really good for me and my family. But after that, I graduated from school with a degree in psychology. I used that to my advantage in sales for a while, and now I'm a stay-at-home mama who loves to research politics and crochet hats and scarves.
Fantastic. So the background in psychology is very interesting to me, because going through school, I had to take a lot of psychology. My daughter actually started her degree in psychology before she changed. So today I thought it would be really interesting to talk about psychology a little bit more in depth and what people perceive to be reality versus what reality actually is. Okay. So what's your take on the current situation and the way that things are versus how they really are?
I think today it's been very eye-opening, especially the past like 5, maybe 6 years. You can see it in the beginning, but like I think once Donald Trump came down that escalator and he won the presidency, it was bam, right in your face. I think what's been going on for a while is just this tale of two realities. It's the emotional reality in which is being pushed a lot by like the CNNs, the MSNBCs and such, and the factual reality, which was a little bit of Fox, but more of the alternative media that started getting more popular. And it's been very interesting to see just the dichotomy of what people think is real and what is actually real. And right. It's just kind of forming these two different worlds.
Yeah. And it's so funny that, I guess people choose to live in the alternate reality where facts don't matter and, you know, they just believe everything that they're spoon-fed and they can't think outside of that spoon feeding. Like, they have no idea what really exists in the world and how many things that we're told that are false.
Right. And it's a part of like confirmation bias, because you never want to be told that you're wrong.
Right.
You know, so having, you know, not wanting to, if what I'm trying to say is like, if you're thinking one way, you still want to continue to have that confirmation bias of like, okay, I'm thinking the right way. I'm thinking the right way. I'm feeling the right way, feeling the right way. And then once something puts like a chink in that armor, that's when you get the people like plugging their ears and yelling at the skies.
Which we've seen a lot of memes about, honestly.
Yes, it's my favorite one.
Yeah, which is so funny to me that there's so much information out there for people to learn if they were just willing to do so. Mm-hmm. And there's so many facts and, you know, evidence backing up anything and everything you could ever want to know is mm-hmm. at your fingertips. Whereas, like, you know, a long time ago, like when I was growing up, you had to wait for a new edition of like Encyclopedia Britannica to come out or something to get information, because there wasn't that, you know, a huge world of the internet for sources and stuff like that. You actually had to go buy books and go to the library and look things up and, you know, stuff in books, because there wasn't anything at your fingertips, where it is now like a wealth of knowledge that you could have if you just choose to do so.
Yeah. I think like I'm kind of lucky in the sense, because I was kind of grew up in the age right in, you know, in the 90s, where I still would have to look up things for school in an encyclopedia or a book, and mm-hmm. then also seeing that switch to everything being online.
Right.
So I think what is the biggest changes is that has happened is not just that too, is back then we also had to rely mainly on the media to get a lot of information.
Right.
So, you know, everyone put their trust in what was coming out was 100% factually true. And now people are coming to find out, well, no, you know.
None of it's true.
None of it's true. They're just lying to your face.
And you're like, every time you see a news story, you're like, wait, what? No. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
And here's a case in point for that. It made me chuckle when this came out. Over the last couple of days, did you see about like the monolith that they found out in the middle of the Utah desert?
Yeah, I have no idea what that is.
And it was like, it's here. It's this hollow, you know, metallic thing. And here it is. And like the government found it. Shocker that the government would find something that doesn't belong in the middle of the desert, because a monolith is actually like a rock formation, but this was not. And it, when I first saw it, I'm like, oh, that was totally placed there. This is like the biggest bunch of bullshit I've ever heard in my life. And then, you know, it disappeared, and then it reappeared in like Belgium or something. And I'm like, what in the hell?
Yeah.
I'm like, this is trying to usher in a whole new CIA project.
Yeah.
In my personal opinion.
Project and Blue Bee, maybe?
Yes, that would be the one. And that's so funny that, you know, and it's like they want you to believe that this just appeared out of nowhere, in the middle of nowhere in Utah. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, come on now. A government agency that was flying a helicopter looking after sheep found it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got some property to sell you in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. If you would like to buy it, it's on sale.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah.
No, that's so funny that the way that they always frame things is like, oh my God, there's this huge outbreak and it's a pandemic and everyone's going to die. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. And it's like just the most sensationalized stories that if people even had an ounce of brain cells. And I'm not trying to be rude about that. but you know, any normal person would go, what? Like, no, this story doesn't make any sense.
Right. Well, I mean, you see it with everything today. Like I think there is one good thing about this pandemic, coronavirus, whatever, is that it gave people time to actually sit down and have the time to look into things.
Right.
And
slow down and research.
Right. And I think that was the biggest problem beforehand was that, you know, you're living your daily lives. You've got things that you got to do. And, you know, so you would look at a headline or you skim an article and you just be like, oh, that has to be true. And then now you actually have the time to sit down and like have a breather in your life and you're looking at everything and you're like, okay, but they told me this. It's like, I do not compute what's going on. Yeah,
I know. I was just thinking that same thing. And it's so funny because, you know, like everything that the media says now, I always take the opposite position. And, you know, it's like anything that they say is like a humor to me because I'm like, okay, yeah, no, like nothing that they're saying is it makes any sense. Nothing they're saying is true. And I know that the opposite of that is true. It's like the reverse in a mirror. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Did that make sense?
No, it does. It makes sense because they're trying to, you know, frame this thing one way and get people extremely frightened. But if you actually go and take the time to look at the numbers, especially throughout this time that we've had,
right,
it just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, wait,
no.
Cutting, what do you mean the state of New Jersey stopped counting the flu and pneumonia March 17th? Like the graph just stops.
Right.
And you're just like, okay.
And you know, it's so funny that like people used to think like in my generation, you know, you had like the Walter Cronkites of the day and stuff. And everybody looked to the media and thought the media was believable. Mm-hmm. And you should always trust everything the media says. But you know, and I know, especially with psychology experiments and CIA projects and things like that, the stuff with the media has been going on since like the 1950s, mm-hmm. 1960s. I mean, we have the Project Mockingbird with the media where it was set up during the Cold War just for the purpose of sowing propaganda directly through the media or other associated fronts like the National Student Association and whatnot. And they're paying these media companies and these associations and stuff to sow propaganda. And this is not made up. You can look this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they did. And they said, like with the Project Mockingbird, they said they had to do it to keep up with Russian propaganda.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. And, you know, it's like, no, because this was another thing set up, of course, by the clowns in America to sow propaganda. And they're still doing it to this day. All of the media, huge media corporations and stuff, they're literally owned by the same people.
Mm-hmm. What is it? Like only six companies or yeah, something out there?
Like, yeah, I think it's five.
Yeah.
And it's like they're all the media in the world is controlled. The BBC is controlled. Australia's news stations are controlled. Sky News, mm-hmm. the whole nine yards. They're all controlled opposition.
Yeah.
And they were all in this Project Mockingbird to sow propaganda. And it'll tell you that. You can look that up in the CIA's own files.
Yeah.
This is not made up for anybody that chooses to go look. And that's why, you know, I can't imagine, you know, and they said, oh, we ended the program. Come on now.
Yeah.
They did not. They got caught.
Yeah.
And then they shuttled it into something else.
Well, you know, the MK Ultra only got caught because paperwork was filed wrong for finances. Right. That's the only reason why they got caught.
Right.
Is because the financials were in something else, but they were like, they shredded all their documentation, I think, before they were going to a hearing.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like what they do now. They destroy evidence and stuff. And like, you know, we supposedly went to space, to the moon, or orbited around the moon, something to do with the moon, 9 times.
Mm-hmm.
And then we supposedly lost all of that technology. We supposedly lost all of that, you know, paperwork and all that stuff that, you know, showed us how to do that. And now we're just rediscovering it again. Come on.
I know. Have you seen that video of that guy from NASA being like, oh, well, we had that technology and then it got lost somehow, but it didn't take a while for us to build it back up. And then like another guy was like, I think they just recorded over those tapes. You're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is like one of the most.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's like one of the most important things to ever happen, like the space race and all that stuff. And like, yeah, we did it. We got there first. And then you erase it.
Right.
Something stinks.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, anybody that believes that kind of stuff, I feel bad for them because, you know, I don't know if it's a case of willful ignorance or just plain ignorance.
Yeah.
Where you can't be like, okay, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. So we literally did this for decades and then all of a sudden we lost all of the technology allowing us to do so. But hey, wait. As of last week, we discovered there was water on the moon.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You were up there 9 times before. And so you just now discovered that after orbiting the moon and being on the moon 9 times. You just now know that.
I will say learning about this stuff really disheartened me because I loved space when I was a kid. Love space. My dad and I out there with telescopes all the time. I mean, we lived in Florida and when they were doing a lot of they're sending things up into space. You know, you get to see the spaceships from where we were and like visited Cape Canaveral. Loved it. Once I started looking at this stuff, it was kind of like a cognitive dissonance thing for me where I just had to like break apart everything that I knew and just be like, okay, logically speaking.
Right.
And then you get to a point where you're like, okay, well, that kind of doesn't make sense. And, you know, I know about the radiation belt, so that kind of doesn't make sense either. And I did go to Cape Canaveral and it did look like tinfoil. So I don't know what's going on. It's like, right. It shook my whole world.
Not to mention, like, we were told there was a moon landing.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly the president, President Nixon, supposedly called the space shuttle from a landline phone, called the space shuttle.
Riddle me that one.
However, there wasn't the technology for people to be on a plane to make a phone call at that time, and not until decades later. But you're going to call from a landline to a spaceship.
Yeah. Well, people might even argue, just for the sake, that, you know, the government has technology 50 years ahead of what we have now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I agree with that.
But then why didn't they have it where people on planes could make phone calls for so long?
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, it does not. It does not make sense.
So, you know, one of the things with the always believe the media stuff, and I know we talked about before the show, like how everything ties together in a little package.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, I was a guest on a show, and we talked about transhumanism. And transhumanism is has changed a lot over the decades and what the actual meaning is, but it's like a emergence with technology and you know, merging you with machine and, you know, like even joint replacements and stuff to me are transhumanism because they're putting metal in your body and stuff like that. But one of the things that we talked about during that show was that there was a Japanese writer and his name was Nobuo Kawazoe. And in his book that he wrote, he said tech will allow whispers in people's ears so that there is no more individual consciousness, only the will of mankind as a whole. And that kind of makes me think about mainstream media,
mm-hmm.
because you're not allowed to have your own opinion. You're not allowed to be a free thinker. Big tech doesn't like that. The media doesn't like that. You are supposed to submit to the will of whatever they want you to know. And so all of the, you know, big media corporations, all of the big tech corporations, they're all in cahoots together and telling you what you should think, how you should feel, which all ties back into the psychology aspect of things.
Mm-hmm. It's been like a drip, drip, drip of of social compliance for decades and decades.
Decades, decades. Yeah, definitely. And I think that's where a lot of that like dueling realities comes in, because you're told over and over, and it's repetitive, because if you repeat it enough, people are going to start to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where they pound in your head, Corona's bad, you're going to die, da-da-da-da-da-da, Russia collusion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're not supposed to have factual evidence or opinions to the contrary, because they want to control your thought.
Right. And any dissenting thought is evil.
So tell me, while you were in school, tell me about the experiment that you were part of.
Such a great segue, because everything you're talking about is pretty much what the experiment was about. It was a part of a larger experiment. I was only a part of it was a social psych experiment. I was a part of the beginning stages of, you know, building it, forming the type of test that we do. And it was all about people's wanting to belong. So kind of like feeling like you're part of a group, basically gauging people's willingness to conform to one thing instead of being having the individual thought type of thing. Mm-hmm. Kind of like almost being like shamed into doing something,
mm-hmm.
in a sense. Not on a grand scale. It was like a little thing, but basically what we would do is you'd have, you know, actors within the experiment who were actually part of the experiment, sit there, and you do this little computer thing and be a room full of people, and everyone was given like a dollar and quarters. And at the end of the computer thing, the proctor at the top, at the front of the room would be like, okay, well, you know, thank you for what you're doing. Oh, by the way, we have a box here for charity if you would like to donate, blah, 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 blah. So us as actors in there, we just, you know, pretend to fiddle around for a minute, and then someone would get up and, you know, put money in the thing. And then we'd calculate and see how many people would put money in there, how much they would put in there, and almost manipulating the situation to get people mm-hmm. to donate money. And it's kind of like if you're kind of looked at, if you don't donate, you're kind of an asshole. Mm-hmm. So a bunch of people would a lot of the time. And it was just very, very interesting to see. And then I see what's going on now with the whole, you got to wear a mask compliance thing or you're an asshole.
Exactly. Exactly. If you don't wear a mask, then you want everybody else in the world dead.
Yes. You went to
shame on you.
Exactly. And that's what it is. It's social shaming. And I was like, I cannot believe this is going to be the hill I'm going to die on. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. I have, you know, family members that do have health issues and stuff. And, but, you know, we're responsible, you know, and I mean, I've gotten yelled at for wearing my mask wrong.
Right.
Okay. I didn't have it completely over my nose and this woman wouldn't serve me because I didn't have it on all the way. And I was like, dude, I have it on my face. She's like, you gotta put it over your nose. I'm like, no. I kept saying no. And 5 minutes later, I see an employee with it down
the same
below
way.
Their nose. And I'm like,
that's different.
This is insane.
That's different though, because do as I say, not as I do. Mm-hmm. Your reality is different from everybody else's reality. So, like, I'll think about all these governors and mayors and, you know, political people and stuff, and they're like shaming you because you have to do your part and you have to wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
But by golly, I can go out for a walk and I don't have to wear one, even though you do if you go outside. And you can't have Thanksgiving, but by golly, I can at a fancy restaurant with like 18 people. But shame on you, because you're not doing your part and I can do what I want. And that's what psychology is for people that don't understand.
Yeah.
Psychology is the science of mind and behavior. It's your conscious, your unconscious, your feelings, and your thoughts. And those things can be so easily manipulated.
Oh, yeah.
That people don't even understand that they're being manipulated. And that's like the whole mask thing, the donations to BLM, the support for Antifa and their peaceful protest.
There's just a fire behind me, but it's mostly peaceful.
I know, right? Mostly peaceful fire protests broke out.
It's just a large bonfire. That's all that's going on.
Yeah. And so here, like, have you ever heard of the Mandela effect?
Yes. Creeps me out.
That's a big thing that some people talk about, you know, in the conspiracy world. And it's like, okay, now why do we have these memories that aren't exactly true?
Mm-hmm.
And think again about media and media manipulation, which again is psychology. Anytime they can warp or shape your conscious, your subconscious, that's all part of psychology.
Yeah.
And so in the Mandela effect, you have memories of things that you perceive to be real that aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many of them. But like, you know, like there are big examples of, you know, the Mandela effect going on. And people are like, I really don't understand why I ever thought that was true.
Yeah, I'll be honest with the Mandela effect. I literally, when they had his funeral, I was like, I thought that guy died a while ago. And mm-hmm. so then when I started looking into the Mandela effect, I was just like, dang. Like, what would people talk about, you know, like Snow White and the Seven mm-hmm. Dwarfs, like mirror, mirror on the wall. She never said that. She said magic mirror on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like these companies, though, kept going along with the lie of mirror, mm-hmm. mirror on the, like, because what, Disney came out with a movie called Mirror, Mirror.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, are they trying to make us crazy on purpose?
And so here's my question, though. And this is kind of on a fucked up level, I guess, but are we really all wrong? Because a lot of us remember the same thing, like, you know, his, like Mandela's death or the Shazam movie, mm-hmm. or, you know, the Fruit of the Loom cornucopia, you know, stuff like that. There's so many instances.
Yeah.
So are our memories actually faulty, or were we actually seeing what really happened? And then they changed everything and were like, see, told you, you guys are nuts.
Well, it's called implanted memory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I want to say real quick, because you were talking about like the definition of psychology. I was actually looking this up the other night, and the last definition that I saw on it, I just was like, mind blown. Because it was said, like, it's like the subtle tactical action or argument used to manipulate or influence another.
I was hoping you would bring that up.
Oh, are you serious? Girl, sometimes I think, like, we're on the same wavelength, for
exactly.
real.
Exactly. And it's so funny because all throughout history, that's all they've done since the 50s and 60s is manipulate us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, psychology goes back a long way, and they actually, like one of the top 25 experiments that they did was actually in 1920. So that was a long, long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And it's so fucked up. If you look into these things, it is creepy shit that they have done and still do to us to this day, to not only manipulate us, but experiment on us and basically use us as lab rats.
Mm-hmm.
So get this. In 1920, it was called, excuse me, the Little Albert Experiment.
Oh.
It was the most unethical study that has ever been conducted ever in the history of anything relating to psychology. So here's what they did. They conditioned a baby to develop irrational fears. And so they would have a rat or a mouse, and they would set the baby on the floor. They would introduce the rat or the mouse to the baby, and they would warm up to each other, and the baby would be all happy and be all smiling and stuff. And then over time, they would change it, and they would take like a steel bar and beat on something anytime the, let's say it's a mouse, because, you know, people are creeped out by rats anyway. So they introduce the mouse to the baby again, the baby sitting on the floor. Then they take this steel bar and bang it really loud. And so that conditions the baby to be like afraid, because anytime the mouse is introduced, there's a loud noise, which automatically scares them. So you're conditioning them to have an irrational fear, because you're manipulating them into being fearful with false information.
Yeah.
Is that not fucked up?
Oh, no. That is completely and totally fucked up. That's it's insane. Like, I mean, but then you look him back to, what was it, the Milgram experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this kind of coincides with a lot of today, though, too, is people's obedience to people, to those who they think have authority.
Right.
And with the Milgram experiment, they had these people come in. They would have to deliver electric shocks to people if they answered a question wrong on something that they were on, what they were doing. But they would believe that the person on the other side was actually getting shocked, and they had an actor there being like, "Ow, ooh, ah, blah, blah." And it went up to like dangerous levels of shock. Mm-hmm. And people would just continue to go to the highest level of voltage just because there was a person with a lab coat on saying, no, you have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it would pain people, and you would see people like physically like upset and like squirming, but they would do it anyway because they thought because they're a person of authority, I'm going to listen to them.
Right.
And it's
yeah, it's so messed up, like back through history, like the things that they have done to manipulate people. animals. A lot of their experiments used babies or children.
Yep.
Which is really, really messed up. Mm-hmm. But think again about today. And like even in the, you know, Nazi Germany times. And mm-hmm. I know a lady that moved to my town that was one of the twins that Joseph Mengele experimented on.
I was just thinking about that experiment too.
Yeah. And so this has happened throughout history, but even like current times. And we know about like all of the missing and trafficked children and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they do that. And it's different kinds of psychological torture or torment or experiments that they're doing on these children, as well as physical. Mm-hmm. But these are actually in psychology books that you can look up, and they're so messed up.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what a really good book is? It's by Kathy O'Brien. I'm actually in the middle of reading it, and it's like freaking me out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's great.
The Trance Formation of America.
Right.
It was written in 95. Super crazy. And it's all about this stuff, like the MK Ultra and like the fracturing of people's psyche. That's right. What all that stuff does with the torture and stuff. That's why people have multiple personality disorders. Like that movie, have you ever seen the movie Split?
Yes.
Like that. You know?
Yeah. And that's why to me, and people that know me know, like, I am not a huge proponent of the drug industry, medications in general, because I know what they do to your body. And if you understand the human body and how these medications actually interact with your system and your organs and stuff, you would understand a lot more. But it's one of those things where, and I've said this before, the medications that they give you are actually worse for you than what you were to begin with.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. I probably have had one Tylenol in 2 years. Right. I'm the same way. I don't like to take anything if I don't need it at all.
Right. And that's me too.
Yeah. I use more like supplements or oils.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Things that are healthy. Mm-hmm. So think about, you know, like we were talking about psychology and how messed up their experiments are. And so, you know, they range anywhere from teaching people racism. Mm-hmm. And this is how we should shape your beliefs. And there was one in 1968 called A Class Divided. And it was after the Martin Luther King death. And so they were basically teaching all white students how racism is bad and, you know, like putting the idea of racism in people's minds.
Yeah.
And teaching you to like further that and develop like a strong sense of dislike or a strong sense of hatred or, you know, whatnot. And so they've been shaping minds for a long time. I mean, even like there was one called the Bobo Doll Experiment, which is the the famous nature versus nurture thing. And it was trying to figure out whether you're going to be mothering because it's genetic, or you're going to mother based on social imitation and what other people do. And so there again, you know, their assumption is that social imitation is better than your genetic ability to take care of your children. And so it's like they're teaching you, well, no, society is best to teach you like how to raise your kids. Like not you. You don't know.
Yeah.
And so think about that. And think about that in relation to You know, how many times like Hillary Clinton and other people have said it takes a village to raise a child. Mm-hmm. Like it's the school's responsibility to raise your kids.
Well, I mean,
you should have a hand in it, but like authorities and politicians know better than you.
Well, I mean, and then you look at right now too with you see reports out there too where teachers are getting upset because parents are listening in.
Right.
And their
they don't
virtual
want
schooling.
The parents involved. Exactly.
Right. And you're just kind of like, well, why? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I grew up for a long time, didn't know that I was dyslexic. And, you know, the school is supposed to be the one that, you know, advocates for me, right? But they weren't. It was my mom.
Right. Right.
You know? And when it got to a point where we found this out, I wasn't, you know, 16. I was just like, I already learned how to deal with it. Like, not much I could do. But, you know, when we were going to tell all my teachers about this, you know, they're supposed to, you know, want the best for me. Only one right. person showed up. And you're just like, okay. So, yeah, I mean, you look at everything that's going on even now, and it just, it's kind of insane. And what was it? Even Justin Trudeau had said, hey, kids, hey, parents, get out of the room so I can talk to your kids.
Right. See, and that's the thing is, you know, they've done so many things. Okay, so we've got, you know, the social aspect. We've got the racism aspect. We've got the conformity aspect. Because mm-hmm. like you said, what you were a part of, there was a study in 51 called the Ash Conformity Study. And it's predicting your likelihood to conform to a standard because we're going to pressure you.
Right.
So that again goes back to the mask and the lockdowns and the COVID and, you know, whatever. They've got experiments regarding car crashes where they can manipulate how you see reality and how you see an actual car crash based on the questions that they ask you.
Yeah.
So then you've got things that are cognitive dissonance, and you've got things that, that, you know, changes behavior, people change behavior just because they're being studied and they act different.
Right.
You know, they've got so many different things, but like even learned helplessness, they have mm-hmm. studies about that where they teach you like to be a helpless victim.
Yeah.
When you're not, and you know better.
You see that happening today now too.
Exactly. And everybody's a victim of racism. Everybody's a victim of hatred. Everybody's a victim of something.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't speak out against, you know, like the terrorist member of Congress who is a jihadist, you know, because that's not appropriate. Mm-hmm. And you should never question her because she's a victim because you're being mean.
Well, and here's the thing too, is that this is what drives me nuts about today, is that no one even, we all talk about like, oh, what was me, my past, this, blah, blah, blah. But no one ever talks about personal responsibility.
Right.
You know?
And that's so important.
Yeah. And that's why with this whole, like, you can only have 10 people at your house for Thanksgiving or you're
Six.
A bad person. Oh, sorry, six.
Six, because the seventh person, we're going to explode them.
Yes. You know, you only have six. Or, you know, or else you're a bad person.
Right. And it's so weird. But, I mean, they have been literally fucking with us.
Yes.
For decades, because this is another one that was super unethical. But it was called the Robber's Cave. And it was in 1954. So mind you, this has been going on for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
So they took these kids to a camp. They separated two groups into different cabins at different, you know, sides of the camp. Neither one of them knew that the other group existed. So they all formed bonds together and stuff. And they were like a close-knit group. And then after a week, they brought them together, introduced them together, and then it was like a rivalry thing that they introduced. And basically the, you know, the experiment was, let's see how fucked up we can make this and how much violence and stuff that we can create, because these two groups are so close knit with each other, but they've got a rivalry together. So let's do things to incite violence. And so it would, they would pit them against each other in these different activities and stuff to create violence and tension. Now, these are groups of 11 and 12-year-old boys. What in the hell? And so we've talked about before, like, the predictive AI technology they have where they already know how you're going to react to a situation. So they already knew exactly how people would react to, like, the George Floyd situation or mm-hmm. a school shooting or whatnot.
Yeah.
And they're introducing these things to you to get a reaction and a rise out of you to shape and change your opinion, even though it may be completely contrary to what you grew up as.
Mm-hmm.
They already know how you're going to react because of social conditioning.
How disgusting is it, though? Like,
extremely.
You know, I remember, you know, the funny thing is that people don't really remember that, like, Antifa and BLM and stuff was around when Obama was president.
Right.
They don't remember, you know, the whole hands up, don't shoot thing came out to be false with Michael Brown. Right.
Exactly.
And that's the thing that I think is extremely crazy, the whole reactionary thing. Because I for me, with media and news and stuff that comes out, I have a 72-hour rule. I know that's probably right. Long, but it actually works out.
It's not. Yeah. It's not.
I'll see something. Because, like, that's why I didn't know about, like, the monolith thing. I'm like, all right, I'm just going to hold off on this for a few days before I look at it. But, you know, so you need to do that. Because first things that come out usually end up being wrong.
Right. And that's, I'm to the point right now, I guess, where I'm so jaded. And there's so many lies and so much manipulation over decades and decades where I'm just like, I look at the story, I read it, I'm like, this is total crap.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in the total crap pile.
Yeah. My favorite thing now to do is actually not even to read most of the article, but is to look at people's reactions.
Right.
Look at the comments, and they're two extremes. There's nobody in the middle. There's no voice of reason in a sense.
Right.
It's either one, you're on one camp or another. And if you even try to tiptoe in the middle, you're going to get your ass chewed out by both of them.
Exactly.
And just like, can we have some type of, like, civility? I don't know, maybe logical thinking. I don't know.
But, you know, I think there's so much conditioning, and it's not just through indoctrination.
Yeah.
It is through social conditioning
that's 100%.
Been proven for decades through psychology, and they're using this on people because even, you know, it's like going back to all these experiments and stuff and the things that they've done and the unethical behavior and the way they experiment on people and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There was a study called the Monster Study where they took children, very young children with stuttering issues. And then they also had a group that didn't have, and they would pit them together, and they would take, like, the children with the stutters, and they would give them really good therapist and stuff. And then they would reinforce positive behavior and positive language skills, which goes back to the, you know, censored language stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would take the kids that didn't have any kind of stuttering stuff, and they would bash them constantly. You can't spell properly. You didn't say that properly. What's the matter with you? And they would, like, trash them and downgrade them and degrade them and make them feel like garbage because they weren't speaking
with a stutter
in a proper manner.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even though they were speaking in a proper manner, the researchers were telling them that they're not good enough and they're stupid and they're retarded and they can't, you know, think right and they're not speaking right and whatnot. And so, it's like a good behavior, bad behavior thing. And so they're taking normal people and telling them that they're bad and terrible and stuff while they're taking people that have stutters and stuff and praising them. So it's like they're completely destroying one segment of the population.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Yeah.
What do they do now?
I know. If you're a straight white man, you're awful.
Exactly. You should not be a man.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a man, you should wear lace suits and stuff or put a dress on.
Because, oh, yeah. You know. Do you see the man rompers?
Ugh.
I'm just like, gonna no say way.
The mankinis.
Oh, my gosh. Beach,
yes. That's worse.
Yeah. I was like, that's like reserved for Borat, not like... Exactly. General public. Like,
yeah, no.
Yeah.
Please don't ever do that. I'll have to stab you in public. No, yeah. I'm sorry. Just kidding. I don't stab people. But if I did,
it would be justified.
So, no. Exactly. And so that's like part of their thing too, is like
the demasculization.
Demasculization, dehumanization. Mm-hmm. They're making you less of what you are. Like, women are superior now and men are garbage. And, you know, black people are superior and white people are garbage. Or, you know, whatever the case is, it's all psychological manipulation.
It is. And it's trying to pit people against each other.
Yeah.
As well. And you can see the different classes of that, you know, because you have one side, the opposing side, and then also the quote-unquote allies.
Right. And so you had mentioned Kathy O'Brien before.
Yes.
That wrote this book. She actually claims to have been part of the Project Monarch.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell me anything about Project Monarch?
To be honest, I know more about MK Ultra than I do Monarch, but I know that part of it has to do with fracturing realities, like fracturing your personality through abuse. And so basically what happens is it's kind of like the brain's way of protecting itself. So if you're in a situation in which is extremely abusive, your brain just kind of cuts off at that point. And it's kind of instilled in you at, like, it's kind of, how would you say it? You're stuck at that age of when that abuse happened. And your brain keeps fracturing. Right. It's a big thing about, like, that's what happens with some people. They'll either dissociate or they'll fracture their personalities. And that's when you get the multiple personality disorder. The whole Kathy O'Brien situation was very, very interesting because it was just like, you know, on the outside, everything looked like it was fine. And then you dug a little deeper and I don't remember the gentleman's name that got her out of the situation. It escapes me right now.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. But I mean,
but it's frightening that they've done these things again for decades because Project Monarch was actually started by the military in the 1960s.
Yeah.
And they put, it's a mind control, well, and personality control.
Yeah.
But they put people through six stages. And like in the first stage, that's when they do the general conditioning. And they pit the left brain against the right brain. And that's where you get the personality split.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, teaching them through repetitive abuse, because since it's conditioning, you have to teach them, whether it's and a lot of it unfortunately was sexual abuse, and that's what a lot of these missing kids go through and whatnot.
Well, and it's the mental enslaving, and because if you can do that, you know that they're not going to run away, so you have your human slave.
Right.
You know, because they can go out and go to the grocery store and do this and do that because they've been so traumatized and
right.
and brainwashed into this way of behaving that right. they know that they're going to come back. I mean, yeah. whether it's and through threats or, you know, like you said, the sexual abuse, like threatening their families and things like that.
Right. And once they achieve that and they've got that, you know, personality split, and they're already conditioned in their abuse pattern and stuff, they move them into the beta stage. And that's the second stage where, it gets even deeper and darker sexually wise. And that's when they remove all of your inhibitions. And so you are willing to do anything and everything that somebody wants. And this is gross for people who don't know about this stuff, but anything and everything means also blood mm-hmm. sport. And so putting like giant fish hooks through your body, cutting you with a knife, whatever, those are sexual things for a lot of people. And so in this stage of conditioning, that's where the dark, deep, yeah. disgusting stuff comes in.
It's like the stages of falling asleep.
Yeah, definitely.
You know,
and each thing gets like deeper and deeper because they have a delta stage where that's where it's kind of like military training where they teach you to kill with deadly force.
Yeah. Well, and you it's know, kind of like even with like the analogy of it, sleep, you get, like you said, you get down to the delta and it's just like, you know, and then that's when your perceived reality is your perceived reality is different from the actual reality.
Exactly. And it's exactly what it is because you no longer have control of your faculties. Mm-hmm. You're completely under the control of someone else. And that's why after that, they move you into the theta stage, which is programming with like implants and tracking devices and stuff. And they know where you are at every moment and they control your movements. So if they need you to go start a fire somewhere or go shoot up a classroom, you're going to do it because you have mm-hmm. no inhibitions, you have no control over yeah. anything that you do. And then they move you into the omega stage is what they call the code green, where that's your self-destruct or your suicide mode. If you get caught, you're automatically going to commit suicide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you think of...
Does that sound weird with anybody that we might know that...
Maybe.
And think of like the Vegas shooter.
I was just going to say that between the Vegas shooter, the guy from Aurora.
Right.
And even Parkland.
Exactly.
They've all said... Somebody told me to do it. It was in my head.
Right.
And I mean, even was it even the FBI building build the Oklahoma City.
Right. Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah. Yep. All of them.
And so, you know, if you put these things into context of normal day stuff, because even like the Vegas shooters, like they can't find a motive. He had no reason to do it.
Yeah.
He's a patsy. He was told to.
Oh, yeah.
And so
when that happened, I knew something stunk. I told my husband right afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like obvious. And
yeah.
And like the last stage of this is like a gamma stage. And so that's where the misinformation and the deception dissemination comes from. So think about like how many times we've seen like media figures or celebrities or whatnot having quote glitches.
Yes.
In public. Yes. After giving information and stuff. And one of the big people that I've seen is Gayle King on the Today Show.
Really?
And she's a media personality. And of course, you're supposed to believe the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so she's giving her misinformation, her propaganda, which is a CIA project, you know, along with this Monarch programming and all the other psychological programming that they do. And then it's like she short circuits. She gives all her fake information and her propaganda. And then all of a sudden, it's like she's not in control anymore.
Yeah, that, and even like an Al Roker. Did you see that one?
Yes.
I mean, sorry, my son's in here, so you might hear me yelling. But yeah, no, Al Roker. I mean, I think Shaquille O'Neal even had one too.
Right.
And you, I mean, it's kind of scary. I mean, and you look at celebrities too, like Katy Perry.
Right.
You know how she started out as, you know, a Christian singer. And then she does, you know, the I Kissed a Girl thing. And then, like, look at all the mental distress that she's been through in the past few years.
Right. And a lot of stuff of her pictured in butterfly things.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Project Monarch.
The Monarch butterfly is very prevalent.
So, you know, the Project Monarch was actually an offshoot of the MK Ultra, and the MK Ultra started in 1953.
Mm-hmm.
And so, hello, that's been going on for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start looking into these things, one thing will lead to you to something else. Because also part of the offshoot of the MK Ultra and the Project Monarch was an operation they did called Spellbinder. And they created sleeper assassins in the 1960s from the military. And of course, working in conjunction with the clowns in America,
mm-hmm.
To create assassins to use during wartime. Now, who was assassinated during the 1960s? That was the president.
Yeah. JFK.
Exactly.
And so the CIA did not like him either.
Yeah, no, because exposure is a bad thing for them,
mm-hmm.
you know. And then they had... after that, or in conjunction with that, they had a project called Operation Often, or MK Often. And it was a covert operation that was started by the Department of Defense in coordination with the CIA. It was like in 1966, and they would test behavioral and toxicological effects of drugs on military members or people, mostly military, again, experimenting on military. And they also were rumored to have dabbled into the occult, things such as not just witchcraft, but the use of psychics, etc., which if you look on Wikipedia, which Wikipedia is it's kind of like looking at Snopes.
Yeah.
Okay, but Wikipedia will tell you that that's false and that it's a conspiracy theory that they dabbled in the occult. However, right after they ended the, or quote, winkety wink, ended the Operation Often program, they started what's called Project Stargate. Project Stargate was basically... a psychic phenomenon used in the military and domestic operations where they could do remote viewing and actually see events, sites, and information. Okay, now think about what I said in the previous one. They went to psychics and stuff to see how you know, things work. They went to witches, with the Wiccan and like everything else, anything and everything that they could think of that was dark or black magic, they would go and interview these people and think, how can they use that for a military op or a psychological operation against the people of the United States. Isn't that sweet?
Well, and what's actually really crazy now is the uptick in the cult today.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, you know, they've got Project Looking Glass, of mm-hmm. course, which everybody's heard of and stuff. But the Project Stargate was the first one where they talked about remote viewing and being able to, quote, see things in the future because it was a psychic phenomenon.
Yeah.
Even though Wikipedia and whatnot's telling you that that's not true and, you know, nothing to see here. And so they terminated this project again, supposedly.
Terminated.
Yes, supposedly. In 95, because the CIA did their own report on their own project and said, hey, there's nothing to see here. Let's move along because, yeah, we found it wasn't useful in day-to-day operations. But their reporting was so, like, vague and had very erroneous data and things like that. So then, you know, did they really terminate it or not? Just like all these other things they've supposedly terminated once they got caught or called out or, you know, said, oh, this, yeah, we don't have anything here. But literally up to today, they're still using this shit.
Yeah.
Even though it's off the books now.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of crazy because you can kind of see it more in the open now. And right. I've said this for a long time. Well, mostly to myself because sometimes people think I'm crazy. But I think it's like
I talk to myself a lot. I get better answers.
If I read some of the stuff that I write, I'm like, oh my gosh, people would think I'm crazy. But I've been saying for a long time with like all these psychological things and even going into the occult, I feel like it's become more prominent as the rise of the anti-hero in right. all of the movies that are out there or even the TV shows. Have you seen in the past 4 years how every TV show has gotten very dark right. and dark in the content and also in the way that they shoot it?
Right.
It's hardly 100- to see the brightness anymore.
Right. And you know, it's so funny to me that it's so blatant and it's so obvious and in your face. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things about occult beliefs and stuff, especially Satanism. They have to knowingly tell you
what they're doing.
It has to be a public thing. And so think about like Cuties.
Yes.
And everything else that's come out in like normalizing pedophilia and normalizing, you know, whatever the behavior is, normalizing killers, normalizing, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, sacrifice, blood rituals, mm-hmm. you name it. That's like in every show that comes out now. And I'm like, what
is going
in the
on?
Literal hell. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like the new Sabrina show that came out on Netflix. I was super excited because I love Sabrina the Teenage Witch as a kid. I would always right. watch it on TGIF, you know, when they had it. And so I could only get through like maybe one or two episodes. I was like, this is dark and it's disgusting.
Right. Right.
And of course, they always push like, you know, the whatever the woke social justice thing that's going on today.
I like every show now, you can't just have a normal show. You have to talk about how everyone's gay and everyone should accept it or transgenders and the issues with the bathrooms, or you have to talk about social justice and BLM or, you know, support for, you know, whatever group it is that they're pushing, they're in literally every show.
Yeah, it's to get
And why is that? Because Hollywood is actually part of all of this.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at a bunch of like actors and the artsy types of people, they're usually, you know, like stereotypically, the ones that are kind of maybe a little bit of the loners or looked at like as the weirdos, and they all just moved to Hollywood. So they're all there together. So of course this stuff is going to come out.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know, and that goes back for so long again, because like the experimentation on people and the psychological manipulation, because it's easier to do those things to somebody that doesn't have a family or somebody's not going to come looking for or whatnot. That's why it's so much easier to do that to a child.
Yeah.
Or musicians or whatnot that are like, psh, I'm going to, like, I hate my life in the cornfields of Indiana, so I'm going to pick up and move to LA.
Yeah.
To start my life, you know, and they know these people are broken or, you know, come from bad homes or, you know, whatever the situation is, or they're a loner, they're socially awkward, whatnot. That's how they get people. And a lot of the people, like especially in the Laurel Canyon situation and whatnot, it was a huge hotbed for musicians.
Yeah.
However, it was also a huge military operation there. And so a lot of these musicians were test subjects.
Yeah, it killed me when I found out about Jim Morrison.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's like their thing. And all of these projects that like the COs, you know, Clowns in America do.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's all about breaking your will, breaking your desire, hooking you on drugs. There's actually one called Project Artichoke, which came out in 1951. Again, a clown's operation where they could pump you with so much LSD and morphine and get you addicted. And so they're putting you through that addiction withdrawal cycle and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so they're breaking you down, breaking your will. And then again, they're making people into attempted assassins just by forced drug use.
Yeah. I mean, it's looking for the super soldier.
That's exactly what they do to, you know, a lot of the kids that they traffic.
Mm-hmm.
If they keep them, you know, drugged up and stuff, you submit, you lose your will, you lose your fight or flight, which is a normal response in your body.
Yeah.
And you just become like whatever they want you to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it just reminds me of like the Desmond is Amazing kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. What is up with the 1950s and 60s when all this stuff started? I mean, you think about all these projects that you're talking about, it's all in the 50s and 60s, and it's this, you know, major push for these psychological experiments. And then you look at, you know, like you were talking about Laurel Canyon. Right. And then, but to me, I'm like thinking about it, and I'm just like, well,
you gotta
that
stop
was
and think. Yeah, you gotta stop and think too.
Well, it was right around Operation Paperclip.
Yeah, where they brought like all of
the Nazi scientists
here that again did the same kind of stuff with psychological experiments, psychological control, manipulation, you know, forced servitude, things like that, and they brought them here. And what did they do?
The same thing that they were doing in
our put them in our goddamn military, our medical communities,
NASA,
our research facilities, NASA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So they brought communism to the United States and instilled it in absolutely every organization ever.
Mm-hmm.
Compliments of the fucking CIA.
Yeah. You know, and I got into an argument with my husband about this, and I was just like, but look, McCarthy wasn't wrong.
Right.
You know,
right.
His means may have not been great, but he wasn't really wrong. Like, if you watch that movie, what is it? Hail Caesar. They just put it right, blatantly right in front of your face. Yep. All these socialists and commies were right under your nose in Hollywood this whole time.
Right. And the thing that I've talked about before, color revolution always starts and ends the same way. You know, and everything that you're seeing right now and have seen for the last year is exactly how it starts. And it is basically just implemented to destroy your system, destroy your will, make you subservient, make you give in. You have to give to these organizations that are communistic in nature. Everybody should know that research, because the founders of these organizations are known Marxists.
Yes.
Hello, that's a communist.
Yes.
So it's like, you know, and that's what they do, is they break society down piece by piece, fracture you, divide you, so that they can destroy your government and come in and take over and take full and total control.
I think this time it's different with the amount
I think it's worse.
You think it's worse?
I think it's worse than any time. And I'm a lot older, but I'm going to say in my lifetime, I think that the effort right now to destroy the United States is worse than what I've ever seen in all my years on this earth.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's because there are so many politicians that are so blatantly in the pocket for China and have dealings with China, and you have the China virus, and you have the color revolution, which, of course, China is communist. And China supports the drug companies. China is part of the World Health Organization. China is part of the UN. And they want, according to the WEF, full and total submission of the United States to UN control, which is communist.
Yeah, it's actually very weird. I think it was about a year ago, maybe a little bit more. It freaked me out. I had this dream. And we were in the United States, and it was just like almost like Armageddon, but not really. I was walking down this bridge, and the flag was a combination of the United States flag and the Chinese flag. And there was like planes flying over with the same flag over it. And I like woke up in a sweat, and I was like, what's going on?
You're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Well, then later on, like, Jason Momoa was in it and Jenna Fisher, and it got kind of weird. So I was like, okay.
Oh. Well, I could look at him. That would be okay. I could totally look at him.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Just saying sorry. Sorry for all your husbands out there, but yeah.
Yeah. My husband just got home. I'm like, hey, it's okay. Just looking.
Just talking about Jason Momoa, honey.
That's it.
Hot flash.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, have to wrap it up, but what are your final thoughts? What are your final words today?
I think, okay, I'll say that, you know, we have been subtly for decades and decades, drip, made to think a certain way, and been told that if you don't think in this monolithic or one path or other path type of way, then you don't belong. But just know that it's okay to think for yourself and like look into things. You know, what we're talking about is real stuff. Like, this stuff did happen, and it is happening, and you can see it happening to everybody today. And sometimes you just need to take the emotion out of everything. Just kind of take a minute, step back, and just look at the facts and figures in front of you. And then just form your own opinion. And, you know, just stand up, and also stand up for what you believe in too, you know? So I guess that's
more than anything.
Yeah. You know, when people are trying to shout you down, but you know, you have the facts and the figures on your side, you know that you're right. And I'll say this too, and don't be mad at them as a person, because it's not their fault. They've just been misinformed and been told lies to for so long that they don't even know. So it's not their fault. It's the people who, for lack of better terms, implanted those emotional feelings.
Doing the brainwashing.
Yes. You know.
Which is exactly what it is, because it's psychology.
Yeah.
And and they know how to use psychology, obviously, from the decades where they just warp and twist literally everything you think.
Exactly.
And feel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the hardest one, is to stop the emotional reaction.
Right.
You know, but you can unlearn it, you know, or you can say, okay, I feel that I'm having this emotional reaction. Why? And then, is it congruent to facts? And if it's not, then you're wrong.
So definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, anyway, my final thoughts for today are: be aware, be very aware. Go research, go look up stuff. We went through a lot of things today. You can actually research on your own and read about the different psychological experiments that have gone on throughout time. You can read about all of the CIA programs. Not only just on the internet, but also on the CIA's own webpage. You can get a lot of that information from there. So be aware and think about things, and think about in the terms of psychology and manipulating your thoughts, subconscious and conscious, and your thoughts, your feelings, things like that. Think about how that plays out with today's world and how they can manipulate you and manipulate your response and shame you into a response, or a thought process, or even to submission, just by simple manipulation. So I want you to think about that, because happens every day. So be you, be yourself. Don't be afraid to stand up. And stand for your rights, your morals, and your values. So anyway, you can find moi as well as Jacqueline on the 4 Deep site. She is one of our special friends in there. And you can look up on the 4deep.com where you can find that information. Sign up. Make sure to put your email in there so you can get updates and things that are going on. You can join the live chats. We're still working on the live website, which should be up sometime in the near future. Had some issues in the past, but we're getting that all sorted out. So, Miss Jacqueline, what is your name there in the chat?
My name is Suburban Mama in the chat.
So make sure you check for Suburban Mama. And of course, you can check for me, Deplorable Janet. You can also find me on Instagram at Deplorable Janet. You can find me on Twitter at No Janet, KNOW. And for me and for Jacqueline, I just want to say thank you for joining us again for another episode.
Thank you, guys.
We will see you again next week.